This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome to Golf Talk Canada. Mark Zucchino, Bob Weeks. We're off this week. This is a best of edition of Golf Talk Canada. We're going to go back and listen to some of our best interviews of 2017, some of which are as recent as this past weekend at the RBC Canadian Open. Yours truly up in Northern Ontario, just taking a few days off, a little R&R. I'm not too sure where Mr. Weeks is this weekend, but well-deserved time off. That's a busy week if you are working the Canadian Open on the heels of that Open Championship where Jordan Spieth just did miraculous things down the stretch and then into the Canadian Open, where we had quite a thrilling ride at the Canadian Open. And you can say whatever you want about Glen Abbey, and I know there's a lot of our listeners out there that call it the most overrated golf course in Canada. You hear that a lot. And I know some of our listeners out in Vancouver and in Alberta are sick and tired of hearing about an Open Championship in Ontario or in the GTA. But at the end of the day, and I know Bob echoes this these thoughts as well, Glen Abbey always produces great drama down the stretch. It is almost like it is built for television, very similar to what you anticipate coming down the stretch at TPC Sawgrass. Now, I in no means am I suggesting that Glen Abbey is as good or as important to the golf landscape as TPC Sawgrass. But what I am suggesting is this: it always comes down to the wire, and there is always volatility. And the reason for that is there's so much risk reward in a Nicklaus layout like Glen Abbey. Three par fives on the backside are obviously got a lot to do with it, but with 16 Mile Creek running down those valley holes, swirling winds, you can just find a lot of others. And then there's eagle opportunities, and that makes for exciting television. Charlie Hoffman, now that's a little disappointing. He is now 0-for-4 with the lead heading into Sunday. Now, Charlie Hoffman has been out there for quite some time, a multiple winner on the PGA Tour. Maybe his round at Augusta earlier this year will go down as the best round of golf we will see all year. In fact, I've already crowned it that, and I know we still have some time to go, and there's been some great rounds. We saw a 62 from Brandon Grace just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago at the Open Championship, the first 62 in major championship history. But Charlie Hoffman's performance at the Masters and that round at Augusta in some of the worst conditions that I've ever seen at Augusta National, just blowing the field away, blowing the stroke average away that day. You know, tremendous play, and he's continued to play well, but again, 0-for-4 now with the lead heading into Sunday. I know I had a lot of people this week ask me, Mark, did Charlie Hoffman lose it or did Johnny Vegas win it? Well, I'm not giving a pass to Hoffman being 0-for-4 heading into Sunday, but what I am saying is Jonathan Vegas shot 65 on Sunday from behind once again to win back-to-back Canadian Opens. Last year he shot 64 on Sunday from 5 back. This year it was 65 on Sunday from 4 back. And if there's anybody happier that Glen Abbey is going to host next year's Canadian Open more than Jonathan Vegas, I don't know who it is. He absolutely loves the golf course. He loves the fan support. I got to call his final round for PGA Tour Radio, and I got to speak to Jonathan Vegas immediately following his playoff win on the 18th green when it all came down to the crunch at Glen Abbey Golf Club. Here's myself and Johnny Vegas.
18th green.
Jonathan Vegas, back-to-back in Canada. You must love it up here.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, pretty much, I mean, I'd really, really have to give it to the fans this week. You know, pretty much at the moment I showed up here in Canada, they lifted my, you know, my feelings, the way, you know, the way I was coming into this week. So, I mean, obviously I have to give it to them. They've been great. So, I mean, hopefully I can keep it rolling. And, you know, as long as the tournament's here in Glen Abbey, hopefully I can keep winning.
Well, we know you'll come back and defend next year. year here at Glen Abbey again. You got hot on the front nine. Putts starting to fall from everywhere. Could you just feel the momentum? Is that one of the best Sunday putting performances you've had in a while?
You know what? To be honest, it is. I really wish I would have made a few on the last four or five holes, to really make it easier on myself. But, I've been working my putting a lot. Last night I made a little bit of a change. Even though I shot 65 on Saturday, I made a little bit of a change and gave me a lot of confidence. And when a few started rolling in the first few holes, I just got into a great momentum. And I knew the feeling from last year too. I did the same thing last year, so I knew the feeling. And I knew if I kept it going, good things could happen. And I was fortunate enough to happen again.
You'll vault up the FedEx Cup points list to 28. You're now 10th, maybe 11th, projected for the President's Cup. You made it to the Tour Championship last year. How big would it be for you to make that international team at Liberty National?
To be honest, it's been on top of my goals since the beginning of the year. And I knew that I've been playing good enough golf to make the team. Obviously the past couple of months have been awful. I just had to stay positive and keep playing. And obviously, with my team, we made the right changes, good things happen when you do that.
Well, you were awesome today. Congratulations. Fun to watch.
Thank you, buddy.
Quite the performance for Johnny Vegas at Glen Abbey. And now, vaulting inside the top 10 on the President's Cup international points list at number 9. So Jonathan Vegas trying to make it to Nick Price's team at Liberty National in a few months. I know it's been on his radar. It's been part of his goals for the season, along with some others, like finding the winner's circle again. But he really wants to be part of that team. And he loves Canada. He loves Canadian golf fans. He felt the support out there. Maybe with Mike Weir as the assistant captain at the international team. And who knows, maybe Adam Hadwin with a strong finish here down the stretch. Maybe we'll have some Canadian on that team, including Canada's back-to-back RBC Canadian Open champion, Jonathan Vegas. Now, speaking of the Canadian Open, our low Canadian was Mackenzie Hughes. It was a disappointing week in general for Canadians at the RBC Canadian Open. We started with 17 in the field to start the week, two players making the cut. That is it. Now, we had several big names and several Canadians that just missed it on the number. Cut was 400 par, so low for a PGA Tour event. And we had many Canadians at 300 missing it by one shot. But we had Adam Hadwin and Mackenzie Hughes make it to the weekend. Mackenzie Hughes finally walking away there near the end with the final low Canadian of the weekend. But it kind of feels like a consolation prize. And Bob and I spoke about this week on Golf Talk Canada Television. Is it not time to get rid of the low Canadian award? Is that not a bit of a backhanded compliment considering the current state of Canadian golf? We have multiple winners on the PGA Tour this year. Previously mentioned Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Hadwin. Adam Hadwin with the 59 earlier this year. We've had 17 Canadians in the field. Many weeks on the PGA Tour, we have 4, 5, 6 Canadian flags playing on the weekend, with several more sometimes starting the event at the start of the week. Are we not beyond the low Canadian award? I'd be curious to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter, at Golf Talk Canada. That's at Golf Talk Canada. How do you feel about the low Canadian award at the Canadian Open? Should we still be giving it out? Do you like it? Do you think it's a backhanded compliment? How do you feel about it? I know Bob believes that if we're going to keep it going, let's tie some money to it that the players can then leave to their charity of choice. The charity this week at Glen Abbey was Ronald McDonald House for Canada. They raised a ton of dough with birdies being dropped at the 7th hole. For every birdie at number 7, the rink with the hockey boards around it, they donated $1,000. So lots of charity angles. Why not, if we're going to continue this, put some money towards charity behind it, or let's just get rid of it at all, entirely. Now, Mackenzie Hughes, a winner on the PGA Tour already this year, low Canadian at the RBC Canadian Open, and he had the opportunity to go one-on-one with Bob Weeks.
Mackenzie Hughes, you finished up here. Looks like you'll be the low Canadian winning of the River Mead Cup. Before we get into that, just tell me about the final round here. You had a nice little run going. I know you stumbled at the end, but just tell us about today's round.
Yeah, a little bit tough coming out here today with, I guess, not a chance to win. It was a bit disappointing yesterday, and I alluded to that in our interview. But today I wanted to come out and play a nice round and build some momentum for next week going into Akron and the PGA. So I was pleased. You know, obviously it's a bit sour tasting right now, making six on the last hole. It's not playing very hard. It's downwind and made a bit of a mess there. So sour taste, but overall it was a good day.
This has been a pretty good week for you. Your first RBC Canadian Open as a professional. I think most of the Dundas, Ontario was here following you around. Lots of fan support. Just sum up the week for us.
A lot of fun. Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. It was great here in my local fan club there, screaming and hollering whenever I made putts. And unfortunately, I didn't make enough this week. But, you know, I'm really grateful for all of them being here, and I look forward to being back next year.
As you mentioned, you're going to Akron next week for the World Golf Championship. It's not quite a home game, but it is kind of, because you're going back right near Kent State where you spent 4 years of college. What's that going to be like?
That'll be a lot of fun. You know, it's these next few weeks are going to be semi-home games. I got Charlotte, where I'm based out of right now for the PGA, and next week being close to Kent State. So I'll have a lot of familiar faces the next couple weeks as well, and it'll be a nice little stretch, and I'm very much looking forward to another WGC.
And I can guarantee you, I know this is why it's a home game for you this week, because I understand you're going to leave here after you get the Rivermead Cup and go to a baby shower. Is that correct?
That is correct. You've heard correct. I'm playing Sunday at Canadian Open and then having a baby shower at my parents' house. So it's a bit of a hectic Sunday, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And it'll be a lot of fun seeing all my fans from out here today and being able to talk to them. Yeah, it'll be fun.
The reason, of course, you're having a baby shower is you're about to become a father pretty soon, right?
Correct. That's on the horizon. So we'll get some toys, and I'm sure that baby will be all stocked up by the time he gets here.
Congratulations on a good week, Matt.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Still a few tournaments to go, and then hopefully a long playoff run for Mackenzie Hughes. Lots going on in Mackenzie Hughes's life, and everybody forgets that this is his rookie round, his rookie lap around the PGA Tour. He is seeing these golf courses for the first time. He is learning to travel on the PGA Tour. It's a lot all at once, and to think that he's been able to accomplish what he has so far in his rookie campaign says a lot. Next year, different ball game. He's seen it. He's done it. He's been there. Not saying he's going to win again, but maybe even a more consistent season and maybe another victory for Mackenzie Hughes in 2018. Coming up next, we'll talk about another Open Championship, U.S. Open, and we'll speak to Brooks Koepka. This is the best of Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. You're listening to the Best of Edition. I hope everybody's having a great long weekend and spending it with loved ones, family, or maybe playing some golf. And I hope you get some decent weather wherever you're listening to Golf Talk Canada. One of the best things about Golf Talk Canada and our show is the fact that Bob and I get to speak to the best players in the world, and we get to speak to the winners. I work for PGA Tour Radio, as you know, and I'm constantly out there calling golf shots and get to hopefully bring home the winner once in a while and do the winner's interview. Bob, obviously, on the beat for TSN full-time at major championships. TSN, your home for all major championship golf. And like always, Bob gets to sit down one-on-one with the champion each week. Well, for each major. Well, this was no different at the U.S. Open. What a different type of U.S. Open. I'm still trying to digest it. I'm still trying to figure out whether I liked this year's U.S. Open and the style of golf, or it was just too much of a change for me, similar to Chambers Bay. I believe you got to move it around North America. I believe you got to try new golf courses. I love Darren Hills. You know, we had Ron Witten, one of the designers and architects, on the show just a few months back, right after the U.S. Open. And he said if the wind didn't blow, that the scores were going to be low. He was right. He thought if they ever play it with the wind and it gets hard fast with the wind, that, you know, 3, 4, 5 under might have won. I'm kind of leaning more Steve Stricker's way. I really liked the U.S. Open golf course. I thought Erin Hills was a great golf course, but I think the problem was the setup. And that's what Steve Stricker suggested. He said, let's thin out the fescue so the fescue is not like you're hitting into a hazard all the time. You may get a bad lie, you may get a good lie, but sometimes you'll be able to play it out and sometimes you won't, but we'll thin it out. But what you need to add is some real U.S. Open rough just off the fairway. Forget the 80-yard fairways. Forget the 100-yard fairways. Let's get back to 20-yard wide fairways, 25, 30, etc., like we saw at Marion. Let's get in some rough, and I guarantee you, even with those great conditions, if they put in some U.S. Open rough and made it imperative to put the ball in the fairway, that we would have seen a 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 under win, maybe even higher. When you eliminate accuracy off the tee, you know what these guys can do to a golf course. Now, all that being said, Brooks Koepka played brilliant, not taking anything away from what he was able to do at Erin Hills. He was the best horse in the race that week, and he deservingly won the year's second major, the U.S. Open. Big things probably coming from this young man, Brooks Koepka. He has all the gifts, and he seems cool, calm, and collected, just like Dustin Johnson. One of his best buddies out there, a guy he works out with and hangs out with quite a bit. Very similar demeanors. Bob had the opportunity to go one-on-one. Here's Weeks and Koepka after the U.S. Open.
Brooks, you looked so calm out there today when you were walking around. All week you've looked so calm, in control. But what was going on inside? Any nerves at all? Any emotions? First tee, walking up 18, anything?
To be honest with you, no. It was the first time I can honestly say I've never been nervous in a golf tournament. There was something about this week. I don't know if it was just the confidence and knowing that if I did what I had to do, I was going to win this golf tournament.
That second shot on 15, Tommy Fleetwood said, was probably one of the best shots he's ever seen. Going into that green, how did it feel for you?
That was pretty good. We were actually dead in between clubs. We were in between 9 and 8 iron, and the wind was just pumping right in your face. Knowing you can't go long, and you can't exactly be short there either or to the right. So, to be honest with you, I hit it exactly how I wanted to. That was the shot of the tournament for me.
You said earlier that trying to win too hard is probably maybe has held you back before. How tough is it when you're in a situation like this with this trophy, ready to pick it up? How tough is it to tell yourself not to try as hard or not to get in your way?
I'd done a good job of it all week, so today I wasn't going to change it up. I felt like if I just stayed patient and do what I do, I should have the trophy come tonight, and I was lucky enough to win it.
Father's Day today, if you had a chance to talk to your dad, or if you haven't, what did you tell him, or what are you going to tell him about this day?
Well, I called him this morning, said Happy Father's Day. We talked for maybe 45 seconds to a minute, and that was it. And then I had to go. I just got back from the gym, so we were kind of in between. And I think he was going to play golf himself, so it was bad timing. And then when we got done, I just called him and said Happy Father's Day. Sorry for not getting you a card, but hopefully this works.
Going to be interesting to see what Brooks Koepka does with the rest of the year. Does he use this as a trampoline to bigger things? Does he keep the momentum going? Does he enjoy himself the rest of the way? Who knows? I expect him to finish strong and build momentum. Of course, he'll be a part of that President's Cup team as well at Liberty National. Okay, I also had the opportunity to bring home a horse, a winner a few weeks back, the John Deere Classic. Bryson DeChambeau. Obviously, a lot of hype around Bryson DeChambeau. He's a different character. He plays, you know, every club in the bag is the same length, the length of a standard six iron. He wears the chapeau, the interesting hat. He has just got an analytical mind. He's one of those beautiful mind, brilliant mathematician, chemistry graduates. And you know, he looks at the golf world a very different way. He's had a lot of pressure on him to do something big in his rookie year, and it has not gone the way he or his people or the media, for that matter, has had anticipated to that point. But everything changed for Bryson DeChambeau at the John Deere Classic. Coming down the stretch, he needed to make some hay, and he did it with an epic birdie on the final hole. And then he watched as everything unfolded, and he learned, standing on the driving range with yours truly, that he was now a PGA Tour winner. Here is myself and Bryson DeChambeau one-on-one winner's interview after his first PGA Tour victory, the John Deere Classic. Bryson, you are a PGA Tour winner. How's that sound?
Oh, it's incredible. I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Even though I'm 23, I've been trying to get out here for quite a while, and was able to actually get out here pretty quickly, and then just to be able to win at 23 is just incredible. I hope there's many more.
We spoke earlier in the week after a performance where you hit every fairway. You came to me and goes, I've never done that before.
Right,
so
right.
Did that kind of just pole vault you to this performance this week, finding the driver?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a big benefit to me. I think that I've been progressing and crescendoing a little bit going these past couple of weeks. I've been playing well, just kind of going down the leaderboard, up it, I guess you could say, and getting closer to that win. And to have it come here is just incredible. I'm still in shock. I don't even know what I did today. It's incredible.
Two more quick ones for you. 30 on the back nine. What happened? What clicked?
Blocked out. Complete blackout.
All right, fair enough. Finally, you're a winner. 500 FedEx Cup points. Yeah. Last question. Did you pack your passport?
Yes, sir, I did. Yeah. I just made sure.
Congratulations, Bryson.
Thanks, guys.
Well, let's see. Bryson DeChambeau, no one puts more pressure on himself than Bryson himself. He's a bright young guy, a different guy, and that was a big win. We'll see what he does the rest of the way. All right, coming up on Golf Talk Canada, Jason Connery, yes, the last name sounds familiar. Mishmoney Penny? Yeah, there's a bad Sean Connery for you. Just had to slide it in there. Anyways, Jason Connery, actor, director himself, son of Sean Connery, came out with a movie this year called Tommy's Honor. It is the story of Tom Morris Jr., of course, Tom Morris Sr., the famous first ever winner of the Open Championship, and then Tom Morris Jr., still to this day, the youngest male to ever win a major golf championship. The movie came out earlier this year. I had the opportunity to go one-on-one with Jason Connery. We did an extensive interview. On the other side, we're going to play part one of myself and Jason Connery. This is the best of Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, a best of. Hope everybody's having a great long weekend. Hope you're keeping it in the fairway, make some birdies, having some fun. I hope you're getting some good golf weather, too. Hey, if you're listening to us in Southern Ontario on TSN 1150 or TSN 1050 in Toronto, you know as well as I do, the spring was not kind, start of the summer, not kind. Let's hope the rest of the way gives us some golf weather to play in. Coming up next here, Jason Connery, son of Sean Connery, director and filmmaker of the movie Tommy's Honor. If you haven't seen Tommy's Honor, it's been out for a while. I suggest you check it out. If you love golf, you love the history of the game, it's a great movie, and there's some real learns in there of the character and the people that we are speaking of. Some really interesting personality traits. It's not just a golf movie. It's, you can watch it with someone who isn't necessarily a huge golf enthusiast. If you are, obviously, well, you'll absolutely love it. Just the way they reinvented the old course of St. Andrews, trying to recreate it to where it was when it was originally dug out of the ground. There's some really cool stuff in that movie. Here is part one with myself and Jason Connery on the movie Tommy's Honor.
Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Golf Talk Canada. Before we get into this, I got to tell you, I've seen the film. I enjoyed it immensely. And for someone who's entrenched in this game, I also learned a lot about the relationship between the father and the son. But before we jump into it, though, how's the reaction to the film been so far? Are you happy with the comments? Are you happy with the way the film's been received?
Yeah, it's lovely to be on the show. Thank you. I am, on the whole, yes. I mean, what's been sort of lovely is that there have been people like you who are aficionados of the game and have, and play it and love it and have embraced it, which is fantastic. And there are people who have no interest in golf, or have never played it, or or in fact, on occasion, don't like it. And they have come from the film waxing lyrical about all the different elements in the story and the fact that even though they don't know anything about golf, that they learned a lot about the beginnings of the game, certainly the modern era of the game, and that they had no idea. And in a sort of perfect world, I'd love the film in a way to be a gateway to those people to perhaps pique their interest. And that seems to be, on the whole, what it's doing, where they're invested in the characters just on them, on their own value, and the golf is a sort of added bonus. As I say, I it's very difficult to know exactly how things are going to play out. But at the moment, I'm getting a lot of calls and a lot of emails from people who are thoroughly enjoying the film for all different reasons, and hopefully that's to do with the sort of versatility of the story.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and obviously I want to talk to you a bit about the golf and the historic perspective of the golf, because we do have a golf audience. But for me, as I was watching the film, you said characters. And to me, it feels so character-driven. Young Tom Morris being almost an anti-establishment character, and old Tom as a traditionalist. And that's a theme and a battle that we see throughout the world even today, how people push back sometimes at what the norm was. And just because your father maybe accepted the way something was, maybe you see it differently. And am I reading that correctly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm father to a 19-year-old son, and he thinks he understands everything about the world and that I don't really understand anything about the world. He may have, certain things that may be true, but, and you walk a tightrope as a parent, trying to explain things to your son without being bullish, without sort of saying, look, this is the way it is. And, ironically, of course, in the Wheel of Time, I think back to when I was a young buck on the golf course with my father, and I was, an aspiring actor and wanting to get ahead in the world and do my thing. And he was giving me guidance, basically telling me that, an actor's life is very different from, the stable life of someone who goes into the office every day, and you never really know how things are going to play out in your career and things. And, you have to be able to accept that and live a somewhat unstructured life. And, it's young Tom, as you say, had a lot to say for himself in the short time that he was on this planet.
The idea for the film, obviously you brought up the fact that, you played a lot of golf, you come up in a golfing family. But the idea for the film, how does this originally come about, the project? Take us back to the start of this project.
Well, I'll take you back probably about five years now, and I was sitting, ironically, in my little cottage in the borders of Scotland. That's about 2.5 hours drive away from St Andrews, where the film takes place, where old Tom was the head greenskeeper for 50 years. And I got a cold call from an American producer called Jim Kreutzer, who said, do you know about the Morris family? And I did indeed know about the Morris family, although I knew very, very little about young Tom, or Tommy, as he was known affectionately. And he said, I'm going to send you a book called Tommy's Honor. I'd love you to read it with the idea of perhaps directing a film about this story. And I was just blown away by the story. I read it in a single sitting. I rang him back and said, this, of course, is the beginning of golf, which was very exciting for me because, it was so viscerally different from how golf is today. There's working class men and the townsfolk were, very, very enamored with their town players, and they would gamble. They were right next to the players, and they had a very vested interest in the outcome, because sometimes they would gamble their entire week's wages, and you get 4,000 or 5,000 people on a golf course, and they're all shouting and smoking and drinking, and it was almost pugilistic. And so in reading that, I was so excited about the idea of that being viscerally so different from now. And then all the other layers that we've talked to, the father, the son, the beautiful love story between young Tommy and his wife Meg, the social stance of the time, the weight of the church in the local community, the upper class compared to the lower class, the division, the generational division between old Tom and young Tommy, and, you know, just on and on. And the idea of shooting it all in Scotland, you know, was just a dream in a way come true for me. And so I got very overexcited. Of course, wanted it to come to fruition, you know, as soon as possible. But it did take its time to get there.
After watching Tommy's Honor myself, I just felt like it was time to go back to Scotland. Played the Old Course a few times, been to the St. Andrews area a few times, but never really done Northern Scotland. So looking forward to getting back there. Going to check it out next summer. Going to play Royal Dornoch, going to play Trump International, Castle Stewart, Turnberry, Royal Troon, Royal Aberdeen, really looking forward. Cruden Bay is another one. Really looking forward to that time in Northern Scotland. I hear unbelievable things about it. My favorite place to play golf in the world is Southwest Ireland, hands down. My favorite place to play golf in the world is Southwest Ireland. And every time I say that to people that have traveled the world and played golf, the one thing they say to me is that if you love Southwest Ireland, the only place that they believe that could potentially rival it or give it a run for its money in terms of drama and quality and just style of play is Northern Scotland. So I'm going to check it out for myself. On the other side, we're going to continue our conversation with Jason Connery. It'll be part two of the interview of the movie Tommy's Honor. This is the best of Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
You're listening to the best of Golf Talk Canada. I hope you're enjoying your long weekend. Before we wrap up our national hour and then continue with the bonus 30 minutes, here is part two of my interview with Jason Connery, writer, director, producer, Tommy's Honor. Obviously, we've talked about the characters and the love story, the dynamic between father and son. There's so much here if you're not a golf fan. But there's also some very cool parts if you are a golf fan, which are, you know, basically the listeners and viewers of our radio and TV show are huge golf enthusiasts. So, Jason, how fun was it? And at times, I guess, was there any challenge in recreating the golf? You know, you basically recreated holes on the old course of St. Andrews on what they may have looked like during that time period, the R&A clubhouse. It must have been a blast for you as a golf fan to try to recreate this.
Oh, it was. I mean, I have to say that it was a bit daunting in the beginning because the realization is that the golf courses now are so incredibly manicured. At the time, they used to cut the courses using sheep, so it was a little bit less manicured, to say the least. And it became very obvious that the R&A was infinitely bigger now than it was before. They'd added sides, they'd added a whole floor on the, above and a patio. And so we went to the R&A, the Royal and Ancient, the building at the old course, and we said we'd love to get the architectural drawings of the original H-block design. And they very kindly gave that to us, and you know, the course there is beautiful, but it's literally like a green carpet. And so we realized that it was never going to happen that we could shoot there. And so we found a field by the sea that had been earmarked for a golf course, actually, at the same time as Turnberry and Gleneagles. And it had never happened. And it was right on the sea, had the same aspect. We moved some earth. We built, as you say, we actually built half the RNA, real size, so that we could shoot it practically. And then we had a digital half that we added afterwards. And we also, Lynx Road, which any golfer will know, runs along the side of the 18th. We made that digitally, and we created the 18th green with the fairway walking down from the first tee, and then we dug Swilkenburn and the bridge that we built there as well. And then as far as golf courses were concerned, I was very lucky. We played on the St. Andrews course, which is on the other side of the old course, and they very kindly didn't mow any of the greens or any of the fairways for 3 weeks. They did the same at Musselburgh, where we actually shot in the real course of Musselburgh. And I would use the rough of these courses that we shot on as the fairway, and the fairway is the green. And the fairway, as I say, was uncut for 3 weeks. So, and then I roughed it up a bit more than that as well. So hopefully we gave the effect of courses that were much less manicured. And then, of course, Peter Mullen and Jack Loudon, who play old Tom and young Tommy Morris, who are wonderful actors, had never played golf. And so they trained and trained and trained with Jim Farmer, who's the honorary professional at the Royal and Ancient. And he had so much photographic evidence, obviously no film footage, but in the photographic evidence, we could see both of their swings, and their swings were very, very different. Young Tommy swung right round himself, almost like a coiled spring, and unfurled and lifted his left knee very early in the turn. And old Tom was very tick-tock, straight back, straight through, much shorter, but very accurate. And I have to say, in reading the diaries and also some of the newsreels, newspapers talking about the matches, I think poor old Tom, at a certain point in his career, got something of the yips, which as a golfer you'll know is there's nothing worse than when you stand over a putt and feel as though you can't swing smoothly through it. And he had a very hard time in his later life putting.
And you touch on this in the film and hint on it and suggest that young Tom was worried about this at a moment in the movie heading into an important match. And I don't want to give too much away, but that story does is told. Just curious, for me, looking back, I can't believe that young Tom still to this day is the youngest major champion in history. When you consider how large the game has grown on a global scale and the young champions and the youth movement in the game of golf, that as far as a men's major champion goes, he's still the youngest. Was there something that stood out from you from his career, or was there something that you discovered through the process of this film, maybe that wasn't even golf related, that was a big learn for you or surprise when telling this story?
Well, there was a number. I mean, he was very innovative, young Tommy. I mean, he was the youngest, and ironically, his father was the oldest. And when they first started the British Open, because in fact it was old Tom with three gentlemen that started the British Open, they made a rule that whoever won the British Open three times was entitled to keep, at that time, the British Open belt. And, of course, they didn't think anybody was going to win it three times. And young Tommy won it when he was 17, 18, and 19 three times in a row, and his own dad had to give him the belt. The next year, they had nothing to play for. So there wasn't an Open the next year. And then the year after that, what do we have? The Claret Jug. And whose name is on it first? Young Tommy. And it really is quite exceptional when you see and look at his what he was able to accomplish in his very short life. He had this idea of hitting down on the back of the ball, which would create what is commonly known today as backspin. So he was incredibly innovative. He also hit the first ever hole-in-one in a professional game. And he also was a person who, there was a hole that was a par six, which they did have in those days, that was 620 yards long, and he managed to get it in the hole in three. which was unheard of. And his third shot was a 200-yard shot into the hole. And when you hear accounts of people watching him play, they really did say there was absolutely nobody who had ever played the same game as him, that he played on a level that nobody could measure because nobody played like that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's a similar comment to the way they spoke of Nicklaus, and then now have they spoken to Woods recently.
Exactly.
Jason, just a couple of more questions before we let you go. I'm just curious, would you consider more golf projects in the future, considering how this has been received and your passion for the game? And I'm just curious about yourself. Do you still get to go out and play? Do you still get to enjoy the game yourself on a personal level?
I do. In fact, on Friday, I'm going to play Hudson International, I hope, up here in Westchester, where I just moved here 3 months ago. So it's all new to me out here. Up in New York, up near a small town called Mount Kisco, about 40 miles north of New York. So I do still play very much so. Whether I play, you know, the way I look at it, if my golf is good, it usually means my career is in the toilet, and vice versa. So I'm not sure quite how I'm playing at the moment. We'll have to see. I don't really think, in a way, I feel like I tried to meld this film so that you see the passion that these people had for the game, and you see that they, of course, their world is encircled by it, and it's enormously involved in their lives. But it's not all their lives, and they have very full emotional lives as well. And for me, that's the sort of that's the crux of it with doing any film which involves a sport. I think that the sport should be part of these people's lives, because as soon as you invest in the people, then the sport comes alive. You know, the thing about sport is the thing that makes it tremendously exciting is when it is indeed live, because anything can happen. And of course, when you're making a film, it's never live as far as the sport is concerned. So you have to have other things, even for fans who are, you know, really looking to see the golf parts of the film. I truly believe they enjoy it more when they're invested in the people that are in fact playing the sport. That's the most important thing, I feel.
Jason, thank you so much for your time. You're going to love your new neighborhood. There is some wonderful golf where you've just hung your hat to call home. So I hope you get out and have some time
to
play those golf courses.
It's
a tremendous golf area. And I enjoyed the film immensely. The name of the film, Tommy's Honor.
Thank you very much.
The release date is May 5th in Canada. Jason, I look forward to maybe doing this again with you sometime. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, that wraps up our national hour here. Bob and myself will be back this week for Golf Talk Canada Television. It is an Acura, the majors edition of Golf Talk Canada Television. We will be previewing the PGA Championship from Quail Hollow, the year's fourth and final major. Who is the favorite? I don't know. We're actually going to get into that in our next 30 minutes of Golf Talk Canada, but it's hard to pick a favorite. Right now, the numbers say Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy are the favorites. Rory on past performance at Quail Hollow, Jordan because of recent performance at the Open Championship. Going past those two names, and I don't know if I can even feel good about Rory right now, I'm having a hard time coming up with three names for the year's final major. How do you feel about us? Hit us up on Twitter, at Golf Talk Canada. Who do you like? Let us know. But this one is throwing darts blindfolded at a board. Remember, 20 weeks of TaylorMade is continuing. We're giving away over $10,000 of product throughout the summer on 20 weeks of TaylorMade. The grand prize is a full set, custom-made set of TaylorMade golf equipment and a trip to PEI, VIP trip for four golfers, you and three buddies, to Prince Edward Island, Canada's number one golf destination. But the only way you can win is if you participate. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at Golf Talk Canada. Like us on Facebook and join our Facebook group, Golf Talk Canada. And download our podcast from iTunes. Do all five things. Have five chances to win each week. Goodbye to our national audience. Stay tuned for 30 more minutes if you're in Hamilton, Toronto, online, or select markets. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet. Thank you for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. You're listening to a best of. If you're in Hamilton at 11:50, Toronto 10:50, a few other select markets, online at iHeartRadio or TSN.ca. Welcome back to the bonus 30. Bob and I will be back live next week covering the PGA Championship, also for Golf Talk Canada Television, and the season continues. Lots more from Golf Talk Canada. Well, hopefully, if you're living in the Southern Ontario region, you had the opportunity to visit Glen Abbey last week for our national championship, the RBC Canadian Open. It was quite the great event. It was also very bizarre, obviously, very unusual what happened with the tournament director, Brent McLaughlin. I don't know what happened there. You know, the lawyers have circled. It is a human resources issue. I don't think any of us will. At the end of the day, we can all speculate, rumors swirling, etc. The one thing I will say is this: his time as tournament director should not be scarred by this. He has done a tremendous job with that championship the last few years. There was some great crowds, some great new things like the rink around number 7. Last year, the food truck pavilion, giant Canadiana. There was more Canadian flags than I've ever seen before. So I think Brent McLaughlin did a very good job. Junior golf, kids under the age of 17, accompanied by a ticketed adult, was allowed in for free. So lots of good work from Brent McLaughlin. So we'll see where it goes from here and what's down the road for Brent McLaughlin. But the last 3 years of his performance at our national championship should not be forgotten. Jack Nicklaus, that's right, the Golden Bear. Jack Nicklaus, 18 career professional majors, the man at the top of the food chain. He was in Toronto for the Canadian Open last week. He was here for the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame, which Mr. Bob Weeks was hosting. So Bob had the opportunity to speak with Jack, pull him aside. We had him on Golf Talk Canada Television, had a little chat with him. Now, it's interesting. Everybody, I did a bunch of radio hits coast to coast over the last few weeks, and point of conversation was Glen Abbey. Now, Glen Abbey has the 2018 Canadian Open. After that, we don't know. Eventually, Glen Abbey is going to be a housing development. That is the reality of the situation. When? I don't know. Can we squeeze one more Canadian Open after 18? Originally, maybe a few weeks ago, I kind of thought so. Now I'm starting to think that 2018 will be the final time the Canadian Open lands at Glen Abbey. Regardless of that, Jack Nicklaus was in town speaking with Golf Canada, and they're out and they're looking and considering other properties, a new property. A piece of land northwest of the city is what we've been told. Maybe potentially looking at a new golf course, a new home for the Canadian Open, a new home for Golf Canada. I find this very interesting considering the current state of the game in terms of participation. And do we need another golf course in the GTA? I don't know. Now, from a selfish standpoint, I love it. Another 5-star golf course in the GTA, another, you know, we already are spoiled with great golf here in Southern Ontario, and we're just going to add one more. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into building a host golf course. It's not just making a challenging golf course or a great golf course. It's about hospitality. It's about, can we move people around? Can we host corporate access, etc. for television? Can they produce a quality television product from this property? Lots to go into it, but what we do know this is that Jack Nicklaus and Golf Canada are considering it. So I expect some announcements moving forward in the next 12 months here, maybe some more clarity. But until then, here's Bob Weeks one-on-one with the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus, welcome back to Glen Abbey, the course that you created. Can you take us back to those days when you saw this piece of land for the first time and what you've created here? What do you think of it now?
Well, no, I'm here now. I haven't been out on the golf course in 20 years, but when we first started it, it was pretty much a property that you're looking at. It's pretty much the same property. It just had to figure out what to do with it. There was a golf course here. I didn't pay much attention to what the routing was because I wanted to create a certain situation for the Canadian Open, and that was sort of the spokes of a wheel and sort of giving people the opportunity to see from the center, see from the middle, see from the out, and make it easy walking, easy to get back and forth. And I think we accomplished that. I think it's, I'm sure that since I've been here, that a lot of trees have grown up and I wouldn't recognize a lot of areas. I'm looking right here at, I guess this used to be the old third hole. It's now what's your seventh hole. And, it's one of the places from the spoke of the wheel that we went to. But it's 29 Canadian Opens. We must have done something right. And so we've been very pleased with Glen Abbey.
Of the 73 tournaments that you won, of course, this is the one that you were never able to get. Is there a little sadness that you weren't able to win this one? I know it was one that you had on your bucket list.
Well, my wife kept sending me back. She said, I'm going to send you back till you do it right. And I never did quite do it right. I think I did it right one year, but something got me when they removed the out-of-bounds stakes. Mr. Norman hit it over the green at 17, and there were no out-of-bounds stakes. They took him down. So we got to play, and he ended up beating me by a shot. But, that happens, and, you've got the rub of the green, as they used to call it, and then that's okay. Greg's a great champion, so I certainly don't fault Greg for that, but I fault myself for maybe not playing a little bit better at times.
I know that you're up here to maybe have a look around and possibly build the new or the next Glen Abbey. What would that look like in your estimation? Anything like today, or things in course design changed a lot?
I'm not sure what it would be yet. Got to find out if that is the case. We're looking at properties, and if we come up with the right property and how we might conceive it. I think it's not just a golf, not a place just for a golf tournament. It's a place for growth of golf in Canada. It's for juniors, for ladies, for men, for people of all walks to learn how to practice, how to learn the game, to do a lot of things. So it'll be more of a golf facility than just a golf course. That's what I think the concept is. If that's the case, then you need enough land. You have to have land for not only for that, but you have to have land for parking. You have to put the whole thing all together in one package. If you put it all together in one package, then you end up modernizing what's going on. Glen Abbey was great when we first started, but it didn't have that many people that came here. But now all of a sudden it's grown up around it. You have to bus in on parking, and it happens with all golf courses. And so we'll see what happens. And they haven't made up their mind whether they want to do it or not do it, but we want to be prepared if that is the case.
Jack, thank you very much. Welcome. We're glad to have you back here at the RBC Canadian Open.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That was Jack, the Golden Bear with Bob. I was just trying to think, after we did that interview, after Jack was on the TV show and the radio show, I was trying to think, is he the most high-profile golfer we've ever had as a guest on Golf Talk Canada? And now that I think about it, I don't believe the only player, the only person of that profile that we have never had as a guest of some kind, whether it be Golf Talk Canada radio or television, has been Tiger Woods. Jack was on, Arnie's been on, Phil's been on. We've had them all. We've had so many great players and stars of the game and leaders of the game, from whether it's players, course designers, commissioners, you name it. We've had them on. It's been a great 7-year run on radio, 3-year run on television to date. And we've had the who's who of the golf world, but never Tiger. Never Tiger Woods. So maybe we've got a new leader there. Either Jack or Arnie, I got to think, are the two biggest interviews we've ever had join us here on Golf Talk Canada. And hopefully Jack's back in Canada soon, maybe building a brand new home for the RBC Canadian Open. On the other side, we're going to get you caught up to date with everything that's Golf Talk Canada. 20 weeks of TaylorMade, Adidas, Show Us Your Stripes, PGA Championship talk, what's coming up next for Golf Talk Canada in the second half, or we kind of missed the halfway point, but certainly the rest of the remainder of the Golf Talk Canada radio and television season. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. That wraps up today's show. We're done. We're out of here. Actually, we got some more stuff to talk about. I can get caught up to date on 20 weeks of TaylorMade, Adidas, Show Us Your Stripes. Lots going on. Bob and I are back live this week for radio. Of course, before that, Golf Talk Canada Television gets going, and we will be previewing the PGA Championship, the year's final major at Quail Hollow. Now, this is interesting. Quail Hollow normally hosts the Wells Fargo on the PGA Tour. The Wells Fargo moved this year so that the changes could be made to Quail Hollow, and they are going to obviously host the year's final major. Now, the favorite heading in right now is Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth, for what he's done recently at the last major, the Open Championship, and Rory McIlroy for his history at Wells Fargo or Quail Hollow, either way you want to phrase it. But he's basically a co-favorite because of past performance on that venue. Now, I cannot give the nod to Rory. And, you know, no one's a bigger Rory fan than I am, but he has not shown me anything for me to believe that he has found his way back. Recently letting his caddy go, more change in Rory's life. I think we're a while still away from seeing Rory bounce back. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you all tweet me and tell me I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm talking about. I really hope I'm wrong. But I believe we're probably somewhere into the FedEx Cup playoffs before we see Rory catch stride. Sound familiar? Same thing happened last year. Jordan Spieth I buy into, because even if Jordan Spieth doesn't have his A game, he can still win. Jordan Spieth had his A game in the final round of the British Open for 4 or 5 holes. The rest of the day, for the first 13 holes, that was about as ugly a performance as you could possibly see. But the difference between Jordan Spieth and everybody else is that when he doesn't have his A game, he's got more guts, more brains, and can fill up the hole with his putter and keep him in every single golf championship, thus the favorite heading into the PGA Championship. Here's the problem. Who else do you add? Where else do you go from there? Can you give me a name other than Jordan Spieth and feel confident about it? I don't believe you can. I don't believe you can build me a case. I think you could find me some dark horses. I think you can find me some guys trending in the right direction, some journeymen, some guys that have been out there a long time and they're still playing well. But a favorite, somebody that you would say 8-1, 6-1, 11-1 even, doubtful. I can't buy into that. Who is that? Now, if we go back to the year's first major, and you go into Augusta National, well, obviously, Augusta National, they play the same course every year. We have tons of history. We have tons of data to crunch. So we have a lot of familiarity with the property. We know the kind of golf, the type of golfer that gets it done at Augusta National. Thus, it is an easy event to handicap. We also look for who's trending in the right direction. If we go back to Augusta, Dustin Johnson was the hottest player in the world, shooting through the stratosphere heading into the year's first major. Everybody loved him. Everybody had him. Then, of course, he fell downstairs and had to withdraw. But there was still a host of names that everybody agreed upon. Justin Rose, John Rahm, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. Everyone was very consistent, and at the end of the day, the leaderboard shaped up to similar to how we expected it, with a few surprises, of course. But overall, Augusta, very easy to handicap. The rest of the year has been a nightmare if you're trying to predict the outcome of major championship golf. Who saw Brooks Koepka at the US Open? Jordan Spieth, okay, you can make an argument for that, the Open Championship. It's Jordan Spieth. But the point is, it's been a revolving door. Week in and week out on the PGA Tour, it's not a who's who of the game. It's new winners, new faces. Is it necessarily good for the game of golf? We had a Twitter poll a few months back, and I asked you a simple question. What do you prefer? What makes you more interested in watching professional golf? A, a dominant player like Tiger Woods. B, a group of players, say four or five, a big three, a big four, a big five, and create rivalries. Or C, the revolving door that we currently have. Well, B won by a landslide in our poll. A was second, and C was a far distant third. And I agree with our poll. I would love to see a real big three, a real big four, and some rivalries down the stretch on Sunday. Now, I did appreciate Tiger. That is a once-in-a-lifetime, a once-in-a-generation athlete that would show us things that we'll probably never see again. And I don't want to disregard what Tiger did or how cool it was to be able to be alive and watch that and be able to tell kids down the road, yeah, I saw the performance at the U.S. Open in 2000, and yes, it is as legendary as you've heard. But nothing would be better to see Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and throw one or two others in there if you'd like, all playing great at the same time, coming down the stretch on Sunday in the final group and the penultimate group, dueling it out in rivalries for golf's biggest championships. We're just, unfortunately, not getting it. So I will pose the question to you again. Is this good for the game of golf? And the other question I'll pose to you is, if we can all agree on Jordan Spieth as the favorite heading into Quail's Hollow, who else do you like? Because I have about 30 names in a hat, and I'd pull them out blind and feel just as confident as if you let me select them. Hit me up at Golf Talk Canada. Let us know who you like at the PGA Championship. Jordan Spieth and who? Maybe you don't have Jordan. If you don't, I think you probably need your head examined, but you should have Jordan. Who else do you like heading into Quail Hollow, the final major of the year? All right, we still have lots going on. 20 weeks of TaylorMade will continue throughout the summer. We're coming down the stretch. If you haven't participated, you still can. We're giving away over $10,000 worth of TaylorMade custom gear over the entire summer on 20 weeks of TaylorMade. The final grand prize for 20 weeks of TaylorMade, a custom full set, top to bottom, tour van, custom experience, full set, full bag, the whole shebang, the Dustin Johnson treatment. You will get the full set, and then you and three buddies will go to Prince Edward Island, Canada's number one golf destination, for a VIP golf trip. How good is that? It is unbelievable, but the only way you can win is if you participate. And if you're not participating, you're crazy. It's free and it's fun. Just follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada and at Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. Like us on Facebook and join our Facebook group and download our podcast. Do all five things. Instagram, Facebook, Facebook group, download the podcast, and Twitter. Do all five things. Have five chances to win each week during 20 weeks of TaylorMade. Also, Adidas, Show Us Your Stripes continues. Send us a pic of you decked out in your favorite Adidas gear, or you just with your Adidas gear laid out. Show us your brand loyalty to Show Us Your Stripes. Send the picture to us at Instagram or Twitter at Golf Talk Canada with the hashtag Show Us Your Stripes and have a chance to win a brand new pair of Adidas footwear each month. Everyone who participates will have the opportunity to win a full Adidas wardrobe at the end of the season. More coming from Golf Talk Canada Television throughout the year. We're going to have a St. Kitts travel special, another TaylorMade special. We'll be covering the playoffs. Yours truly will be at the Tour Championship at Eastlake for the FedEx Cup Final, doing play-by-play for PGA Tour Radio, as well as sending some content back for Golf Talk Canada. And then Bob and I will both be at Liberty National for the President's Cup. Can't wait to wrap up the Golf Talk Canada television season. It's been a tremendous season. And of course, Golf Talk Canada Radio never goes away, 52 weeks a year on the TSN Radio Network. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.